Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, I'd like to look at verse 9. Hebrews 13, 9. The Scripture declares, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening, we call upon You, asking, Lord, that You would bless Your Word, bless our hearing, bless the preaching. Lord, help us to worship. Help us to let things of this world, fleeting things, Lord, be put out of our minds. Let us truly hear, for Christ's sake. Amen. The apostle had encouraged the Hebrews to remember them which have the rule over you. And as we said last time, not only those that now preach, serve, study, seek God's leadership, God's direction, but those who have ministered and gone on to be with the Lord. Remember the word that they preached. The same word that every God-called preacher has preached. That message of God's sovereign grace. Salvation by grace alone. Remember the constancy of their walk, of their profession. And the Scripture says to consider the end of their conversation, that way of escape, how the Lord took them out, how they went out trusting God. And I'm convinced that the way in which a believer leaves this world is consistent with God's promise, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm not going to leave you to yourself." In that day, in that hour, in that moment, just as Stephen left this world, he said, "I see heaven open. I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Praying for those that were stoning him, praying for those that hated him. Ask the Lord, "Lord, don't lay this to their charge." And as we remember those who have ministered, remember the source of their life and their walk. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The Lord who has kept His people yesterday and kept them today, He's going to keep them tomorrow. Never changes. He's the Lord. And when it comes time for us to leave this world, and relatively speaking, that time's going to be soon, in light of eternity, we're just a blip, a moment, twinkling of an eye. When it comes time, rest assured, based on His word, He's going to keep His people. And knowing that we're here just for a little while, I've entitled this message, "A Warning to Believers." a warning to believers. The apostle says in verse 9, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines." Be not carried about. Don't have respect for. I'm just giving you the interpretations. Don't have respect for and do not uphold. Be not carried about with divers, multiple, and strange, alien, novel doctrines. Doctrines that are many different kinds. I begin to think about all of the different denominations. Now, this is what he's talking about. Be not carried about. Don't have respect for. With multiple and alien doctrines. We have one doctrine, the truth of Christ. But there's multiple doctrines, alien, strange, diverse doctrines. And they all have their own particular way how a man is to be saved. Don't be carried about with that. The gospel is one message. You meet a believer, and that believer believes the same thing as this believer. Paul says, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which was preached, let him be accursed. There's one doctrine of Christ, the truth. Salvation, all of grace. Look at Proverbs 24, 21. Proverbs 24, 21. Proverbs 24:21, the scripture says, "My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change." Now, meddle not. Don't mingle with those that are given to change, to disguise, to perversion. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, the scripture sets forth this truth. Galatians 1, 7. Well, I'll read verse 6 and 7. "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So I had to look up pervert to know just exactly what the apostle was talking about. To mix works with grace. To pervert. There would be some that would pervert the gospel. And this is what he was saying. He said, I'm not... They're saying, we're not saying that you're not saved by grace. You're saved by the grace of God, they say. But you've got to have something else added to that. You're saved by the grace of God, but you've got to be baptized. You're saved by the grace of God, but it's only evidenced by speaking in tongues. You're saved by the grace of God, but if you can't trace your lineage back to the apostles, then you're not truly in the... There would be some that would pervert to mix grace and works. Look at Colossians 2:18. Colossians 2:18. You know, I began to think as the apostle was moved upon by the Spirit of God, if it was not necessary for the apostle to pen these words, the Spirit of God would have never laid it upon his heart. When he said, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines," he's talking to believers. Remember something. We're in a world that is absolutely, apologies and thankfulness that he's okay. We're living in a world in which we were born in Adam. And we have in our flesh no good thing. When we're converted, this flesh does not change. It's absolutely the same. In regeneration, there's no change in the flesh. It's just like it was. And it's susceptible to being worked upon by the wiles of Satan. So therefore, the apostle warned us, be careful, be careful. Don't be carried about. Don't give way to. Now, back in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, the scripture says, let no man beguile you, fool you, lie to you. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Let no man beguile you of your reward. We have a reward of the Lord Jesus Christ through his shed blood. Let me tell you what this reward is. We've been pardoned from our sin. He's paid our debt. We have peace in our conscience. The Lord has given us a heart and settled our heart. And we have joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know I'm reading a lot of scriptures, but I want to make sure that we make the point that is needful here. 1 Corinthians 1:30. The scripture says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, listen good. Listen closely. Though Satan cannot pluck us out of the Lord's hand, you know that. I give unto them eternal life. They'll never perish. Though we know that Satan cannot, he attempts, he strives to perplex our minds and whisper to us through false preachers that, when I read that, you know, the scripture sets forth that he's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Satan would come and try to whisper in our minds and ears that we're not wise unto God by Christ's wisdom. Christ is made our wisdom. The devil would say to him, it's not by his wisdom, but it's by your wisdom. You're smart. You figured this out. If you think that that's not a temptation, just stop for a second and think to yourself, have you ever thought, you that believe him, you that know him, you know, at least I do believe the gospel. I mean, I understand this. I've studied this. I've been taught this, and I'm pretty settled on this thing. And I'll tell you this: nobody's going to change my mind. Listen to what we all say. He would come and try to beguile us, fool us, for he hath made him to be wisdom. Satan would come and say, it's not his righteousness before God, but it's yours. You've been faithful. You don't live like the world. You don't live in open rebellion against God. You've walked consistently. He was saying, as he whispers, it's not holiness by his holiness. You're the one that believed. You have faith. You're not perfectly redeemed by His redemption, but you have to mix works with His grace to make His redemption effectual. You're saved by grace, but be careful lest Satan beguile you and lie to you. Now back in Hebrews 13. Be not, verse 9, 13:9, be not carried away. Don't have respect for divers and strange doctrines. To be beguiled, the people of God are always going to have to contend and deal with the temptation of error until they leave this world. The Lord Himself warned His disciples as they asked Him about the end time. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. And who was He talking to? He was talking to His disciples. Take heed. Be aware. Listen up. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in My name and saying, when it saith, I am Christ, many of them are going to say, I'm the truth. I'm the true gospel. That's what He's saying. I am the truth and shall deceive many. John warned in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Be careful. Don't be dazzled by false preachers who claim to be sent from God but preach any message that is not all of grace and it has nothing to do with you. It has absolutely nothing to do with your part. God saves His people totally apart from anything that they do. Anything that they do, believe, trust, come, is a result of Him giving life first. Life is never imparted based upon your response to His offer. Never. If a person believes that they're converted because they believed, you've never believed. If a person believes that they're converted because they were baptized or spoke in tongues or all that other stuff that I named a while ago, if you think it's because you did it, you're deceived. Salvation is of the Lord. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. If any man be not in agreement with the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as He is set forth in Scripture, if any man stands in a pulpit, if any man says, if any man proclaims that he is sent from God and he is not in agreement with the gospel that Paul the Apostle said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, all of grace, no works to merit salvation, he is not sent from God. Well, here's my question. How are you to treat these false preachers? How do you handle them? 2 John 1, 10-11, I'll just read this. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I wrote down something Brother Henry wrote out of his commentary on this passage right here. And I'll just quote it to you. He said, if there comes to the church or to your home, under the character of a preacher, a teacher, a religious leader, somebody comes knocking on your door, and there's a couple of them, and they're walking around, and they want to talk to you about salvation. If there comes to the church, to your home, under the character of a preacher, a teacher, or a religious leader, one who does not preach this doctrine, but despises and denies it, do not allow him to, A, preach in the house of God, and do not entertain him in your home. Romans 16:7. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Don't argue with them. Leave them alone. Continuing with Brother Henry's quote, he says, don't give a false preacher the usual civil form of salutation like good day or Lord bless you. Don't give him any impression that you're sympathetic with him, because it could mislead others to think favorably of him. Remember this, they are deliberate vessels of Satan, sent to beguile God's people. This is the reason that they're there. This is the reason that they're in your vicinity. This is the reason that they're raised up. Ephesians 4:14. The Scripture says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Paul the Apostle is saying this is their goal. This is their goal. To deceive. To deceive God's people. If you want to know what the Scripture is setting forth, it's setting forth that men that are not sent of God preach multiple different doctrines. It's something always contrary to the doctrine of Christ, the gospel of free grace. It always, always, always adds works to grace, which is not grace at all. If it has any work to it, it's not grace. It is to beguile. It's to fool, deceive. Back in Hebrews 13:9, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established with grace. We have the indisputable Word of God that salvation is all of God's grace in Christ. The Father chose in electing grace. The Son redeemed the chosen in redeeming grace. Let me just say it like this before I finish the sentence. How much did you have to do with your election? How much did you have to do with your redemption? How much did you have to do with your regeneration? Now, I'm you that believe. You know, here you are, a walking, spiritually dead sinner. And Almighty God, in power, in grace, in distinguishing grace, calls you out of darkness. And for the first time in your life, you realize salvation's of the Lord. How much did you have to do with that? Nothing. How much did you have to do with the keeping power to sustain you? How much did you have to do with the imputed righteousness of Christ being charged to your account? But for the grace of God, you wouldn't even know it. You wouldn't know it. But for the grace of God, you wouldn't even know that you're a rebel against God. You mean to tell me that a dead sinner is going to realize that he's a rebel against God? That somehow you're going to talk to a dead corpse of a soul and it's going to respond? It's good. It's valuable. It's valuable to your eternal soul that the heart, and not merely the head. There's some things that we understand in our head. I understand, as I've said before, I understand, mentally speaking, I can understand that God elected a people. But to have a heart and thankfulness that He would choose me, that's a humbling thought. That I can understand. I grew up knowing and being in a place where there was a cross up on the wall or on the... I understand the cross, that symbol thing. I understand that. But to know that Christ died for me, that He had me, as that great high priest had those stones on his breastplate, that He had me on His heart. It's good that the heart be established, be persuaded, be convinced with grace, with God's grace, with God's pleasure, with God's will, God's choice. A heart that is established with grace is not going to leave, because the Lord said, I give them eternal life. I keep them. Because it's a heart that's born from above. A heart that is established with grace doesn't sin. That which is born of God doesn't sin. And, of course, you know the next statement I'm going to make. Well, you say, well, where does this sin come from that I see in my flesh? Right there. You've got a new man and an old man. And that old man is a sinner. And the new man confesses that he himself... Remember when Paul in Romans 7, he was saying, oh, wretched man, that I am. That's me. There's two me's here. There's an old me and a new me, and they're both me. And that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into this world because He came to seek to save sinners. You say, are you telling me that He everlastingly loved a sinner? Yeah, that's who He died for. That's why He shed His blood. That's why He laid down His life. He loved them. Well, what's going to have to happen? How do I get? Only when in death This old man is put off. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Lord will. In death, we're going to be changed. We're going to be a new man. It's good. It's good that the heart be established with grace. As I said, in this life, I know that sin is still with me. But I tell you what, there's a new man there that believes God and loves God and believes that Christ came into this world to save him, the sinner. That heart believes the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to save just such as him. You that know him, the older we get, the more we hear, the more God teaches us, I'm telling you, the lower you get in self, the more downward you go. You think, I used to just think, older people, I don't know why I thought they older they got, seemed like the better they got. No, it just seems like the more they realize how worse they are. They know it. They know it. And I'm telling you, the more the Lord shows them. And that's a process of leaving this world. That's God preparing His people to leave this world. Who shall deliver me? That new heart, it knows according to God's eternal counsel that God's going to show mercy to His people. That new heart knows there's no condemnation to those that be in Christ Jesus. It knows. It knows that there's going to be trials in this life. Tribulations sent by God for the perfecting of the saints. For the proving of them. That's what trials do. It proves God's faithfulness. And it proves true faith. It proves faith. It shows it to be. And by faith we know that soon this seeing through a glass darkly is going to give way to perfect sight. See Him as He is. It's good thing that the heart be established with grace. Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. When He says meats there, He's talking about those that attempt to keep the law. Going through the eating or abstaining from or certain types of meat, trying to keep the law, trying to establish a righteousness based upon the pictures, the types and the shadows. Trying to keep holy days or ceremonies that were according to the law. The soul that's established with grace is not profited by those things. That's what the apostle's saying. It doesn't profit. It doesn't encourage. It doesn't edify. It doesn't teach. It doesn't... Last passage, Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23. Colossians chapter 2, 20 to 23. Wherefore, Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances like touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. My friend, we are subject, or the apostle, as I said a while ago, would not have said it. We're subject to be fooled. We're subject to it. We're only kept by the grace of God. But this old flesh that we have, I'm telling you, Satan is going to try to continually beguile God's people as he did Eve. The apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ warned. The apostles have warned, the Spirit of God teaching through this scripture right here. Beware. Be careful. When I tell you, and as I've said it before, I know that I want to be very, very plain when it comes to men that stand in pulpits and lie. They lie on God. They say they're of the Lord. And these scriptures bear out that if they're not preaching the gospel of God's sovereign grace, electing grace, particular redeeming grace, irresistible regenerating grace, if they're not preaching that gospel according to this book, according to these scriptures, that's why I read so many scriptures, but I'm telling you, they're not of God. They are not of the Lord. Avoid them. Avoid them. Don't sit under them. Don't hear them. Don't give them. The scripture says, leave them alone. This truth is set forth by the Lord God of heaven. Lord, help us to hear. Help us. Help us to hear. Help us to obey. When men will look at you and say, you're just arrogant, you're proud, you know better than that. You strive to obey. You strive to seek His Word, His face, His way. And by the grace of God, we're kept. Lord, bless the words to our heart for Christ's sake.